This is Frank. Hi, Frank. Say hi, Frank, if you want. Frank, he's a foot. He's a Pacific Northwest foot. You can tell that because he's all decked out. He's in all his all-season gear. He can handle the rain. He can handle the cold. He can handle the mud. He's a fine, fine, fine foot. And yet, if you were to talk to Frank, it just feels like there's something missing. He's not feeling, Frank is just not fulfilled. Just feels like he's not going anywhere in life. He can't see the future ahead of him because he has no eyes. He can't hear the direction of his life because he has no ears. It's like he's not really going anywhere because he's not. Frank is having an existential crisis. And though I bring up that illustration, hopefully with a little bit of humor, Frank's existential crisis is actually, it's one that all of us have, and it's in our culture today, especially over the last 50 years, and it's increasing. Frank's existential crisis is the same one that we feel, and that you're seeing around you. It's the headline behind the headlines right now, especially here in the West. You see, Frank, he's followed all the cultural advice. He is working hard to live his best life. He has been diligent in not listening to any of the voices around him telling him who he is. He's just searched within. He has searched his soul. And yet he feels incomplete. He doesn't really know who he is. He doesn't really know what his potential is. And Frank is just, he's not happy feet. He's just not. Because Frank, as you've probably figured out, was not meant to do life alone. You see, a foot only finds its fulfillment as part of a
pair.
I was going with body, but that's good. As part of a pair of feet. Yes, that would be just freaky, wouldn't it? But a foot only finds itself as part of a larger entity. Feet are designed to be part of the body. In fact, this is a super gross thought, but if you were to just have just literally one foot, it would be pretty gross. Feet are designed for connection. They're designed for interdependence. They only fully know. Yes, sir.
Frank is defeated.
Frank is defeated. Yes, Frank the footer is defeated. He's a foot long. You can put mustard on him. Now, that was good. Chuck, I have missed you. But my aim is getting better, so watch out. Now. But Frank's issue is the same issue that we have. We don't know who we are. We have an identity crisis. And all joking aside, like I said, this is, I believe, the headline behind the headline. Because we live in a culture that is increasingly not just valuing the individual, but it is hyper-individualistic. Our children today are being told, don't listen to anyone else but yourself to figure out your own identity. Or you know, don't listen to anyone else except me telling you to not listen to anyone else. That's the irony in it. Don't listen to anyone else but yourself. Only you can figure out who you are, and you must do it all by yourself. And Scripture points us to a much more hopeful and much more complete truth. That just like Frank, just like Lily, who we're going to meet in a few minutes, we were designed to be part of the body. And we're in a two-week series called Your Part Matters, where we're looking at what it means to be part of the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that may be pretty familiar to you. I hope it is. And just pondering for a little bit what it means to be part of the body. So here's the first big idea as we open up the Scripture. See, the church, what the Scriptures call the body of Christ, especially capital C church, like all Christians everywhere, everyone who has met Jesus, everyone who has been filled by the Holy Spirit, which is what happens when you meet Jesus. Church is not something you go to. It is something you are part of. So, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 27 and spending a little bit of extra time, especially on verse 27. And so this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth. I just love these passages. The more I read the Scripture, the more incredibly timely and relevant it is. So Paul had spent about a year and a half planting a church in Corinth. He goes off off to basically do the next thing. Things are going well for a while until he gets news that they're not. And the people are getting all divided. Some people are following Apollos, and others are following Peter, and others want to follow Paul. And there's all this division getting into the church. And there's all this misunderstanding of how grace works in the church. He starts to hear rumors of people who are putting the grace puzzle together like this. So Jesus has forgiven me, right? Yes, he has forgiven you. Jesus loves me no matter what, right? Yes. So I could sleep with my stepmom because she's really hot and that'd be okay, right? And Paul goes, no, that's not how grace works. That's not how it's supposed to be. I'm forgiven by Jesus? Yes, you are. Absolutely. You are forgiven by Jesus. So I could go to the temple of Aphrodite. That's one of the temples that was in Corinth, and I could still participate in the temple rituals there. I could still visit the temple prostitutes, and it would be okay. I could like have the best of both worlds. That'd be great. I could do that. Is that okay? Because that's how grace works, right? And Paul goes, nope. That's not how it works. Or as we get into this part of the book of 1 Corinthians, there's people that are like, I'm in worship, and isn't it great? I can just be as expressive as I want. I can just connect with Jesus however I want. It is all about me and Jesus, right? It doesn't matter if what I do is distracting to the people around me. It's all about me connecting with Jesus and expressing myself in the Spirit. And Paul says, no, you're missing the point. So whether you're using grace as a license to just do whatever you want, or you're using the diversity in the church as an excuse to cause division in the church, and those are different things. Or you're trying to make church all about you. Here's a bigger picture of what church is really all about. And that's where we find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read together. Just as a body, though one, has many parts. Does your body have many parts?
Yep.
But all its parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot... There's old Frank again. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. He keeps coming back to the same point here. See, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We're going to meet Lily in a minute. And if the parts we think are less honorable, those parts we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, they're treated with special modesty, except on French beaches. I added that part. Verse 24, while our presentable parts, they need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Then we get to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And the weird thing is as we hear this passage, and we hopefully put our trust in God's word, as the Bible is God's word and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct, we hear a verse like this, and part of us thinks, yeah, I should become part of the body. And yet that's not what the passage is saying, is it? You are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Yeah, I should do more with the body. I really should, shouldn't I? Nope. Let's read the passage again. Would you put the verse back up on the screen? Now, each of you. You are the body of Christ, and each of you. What's the next word after that? Is, not should be, not could be, not maybe one day, is a part of it. You are part of the body of Christ. If Jesus is your Savior and Lord, if you're looking forward to heaven, if you've experienced the hope of Christ, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you because you have received Jesus as your Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. The question isn't, should you be a part? The question is, what kind of part are you? And are you playing your part? But we each are a part of the body of Christ. So here's the big idea I'd like us to wrestle with. And this has everything to do, I think, with some of the cultural environment that we find ourselves in, some of the challenges. This, I believe, is one of the headlines behind the headlines in culture today. So roll this around in your brain. If you disagree with me, that's just fine, but tell me why. Here's the big idea. See, without Jesus and his body, if each of us is part of the body of Christ, then without Jesus and his body, you cannot fully know who you are. Because see, if the Bible is true, and every one of us is here by God's design, by his purposes, as part of his plan for this world, he has uniquely designed you to contribute to his work in the world, to make a difference on the planet in Jesus' name. You are uniquely designed to make a difference. And until you know Christ, you are disconnected from the very source of what makes you you. And If you are connected to all the other people who are following Jesus, all who follow Jesus all around the world, look around the room. Imagine people in churches all across the planet today. Every style of worship, every shade of skin, every language known to humanity. You're part of that. That without Jesus and his body, you cannot fully know who you are. That's a very counter-cultural thought, isn't it? Now, that does not mean that your emotions don't matter. They most certainly do. And your own sense of calling and purpose and how you feel inside, oh, that matters tremendously. It's just not the only ingredient in the cake. Guys, do you wonder why as you look around, some of you are like, we look at the next generation and we look at where culture is going and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so concerned. Rightly so. We are asking the next generation to make the most important decisions of their life. Who am I and why am I here? And most of them are being forced to make those decisions without all the information. If we're serious about verses like this and ideas like this, that we are each a part of the body of Christ and each one of us is a part of it, it should redouble our passion to reach the next generation. How in the world can people know who they really are without knowing that they're loved and designed by God? And that they were called to be part of a larger community. So, if we're all part of the body, who's the head? Jesus. Jesus is the head. Here's the first most important thing to remember if you are a body part. Let me see your eyes. I'll be fast today, I promise. Stay connected to the head. Yeah, you don't need to read a lot of history to, you know, have you ever seen a guillotine? Don't use one, okay? Stay connected to the head. The body works well when it is connected to the head. To the head. So that's how we discover who we are. We stay connected to the head. Secondarily, point number two, is if you are part of the body, then it is also appropriate to listen to, and I would add care for, the rest of the body. You have a unique part to play, and that part is found in relationship with the other people around you. It's one of the, I think, I know I keep harping on the cultural changes, but that is one of the big cultural changes of the last 50 years, especially in the Western world, is a de-emphasis on community. Because here's the thing, is that the people around you can see attributes in you that you cannot see on your own. Isn't that weird? It's like the mole on your back. You need somebody else to spot it for you. I say that because I have moles on my back and I've got a wife and she's amazing. There are aspects of you, sometimes even some of the most important aspects of you that you cannot see on your own. Sometimes the things that you're especially good at, you've been good at it for so long, you don't even think of it as being a strength, and yet it could be your greatest strength. And the people around you can see it plain as day. So listen to the people around you. That's one among so many reasons why part of the discipleship pathway here at Columbia Grove is to help you find a connection group of some sort. until you've got a posse, until you've got people, other believers who care about you and can speak into your life, there are significant parts of your life that you will be blind to. We need the other parts of the body to help us know what we're good at, what our weaknesses are as well. And oftentimes, oftentimes our weaknesses are connected to our strengths. So we need people around us who love us and love Jesus, who can speak to us and help us know what our part in the body is. And thirdly, and this is third on the list, is you do listen to your own emotions. That's okay. Look for the fruit and listen to your emotions. In other words, as you try different things, hey, I think I'd like to be a greeter. Now, some of you are just, pick one role in the church among many. Some of you are well equipped to be a greeter, and as you greet, it just feels good. You're like, wow, I just love greeting people. So you listen to your emotions and you watch for the fruit. Like if you're greeting people and the people that you're greeting, it looks like they're happy to be there, then that's good. If you're trying to greet people and people are just, they're just backing away, they're like, oh, creepy person, maybe you're not a greeter. It's okay to not be a greeter. There's so many different roles to play in the local church. And the local church is a whole lot more than Sunday morning. So you listen. What are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What gets your goat when it goes badly? That's probably connected to your spiritual gifts and God's call in your life. So listen for that. Look for the fruit. Listen to the people around you, because if you're open to good, honest feedback, they'll give it. And most importantly, stay connected to the head. Let's meet Lily. You know a sermon illustration is good when you got to put gloves on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oops. No, it's not that gross, but it is moderately gross. Lily is one of the parts of the body that you don't think about very much. Do you know what Lily is?
The liver.
It's a liver. This is not a human liver. All right. But this is real liver. This is real. How recently have you thought about your liver? Do you think about your liver much? If you came with somebody, like a loved one, just turn to your loved one and say, baby, you make my liver quiver. So now you have thought about your liver. But the liver is, in fact, the largest of the internal organs. And I had to learn this week, because I don't think about my liver very much. It doesn't gurgle. It doesn't do anything, doesn't make gas, doesn't do anything interesting, doesn't breathe, it just sits there. It's just under my diaphragm, but it does important stuff like it filters the blood. It aids with digestion, that metabolism and detoxification. Some of you are really thankful for that. Remember college? Okay. And your protein synthesis. It's storage of vitamins and minerals. Without a working liver, you will die. Quickly, in fact. There are parts of the body that are like Lily, the liver, where they're actually serving more than you could ever imagine. And they largely go unseen and unnoticed. And just like all the other parts of the body, Lily the liver, apart from the rest of the body, is pretty gross and useless. And will probably be fed to our dog later today. She'll be very happy about this. Even Lily needs the rest of the body. Even Lily needs the rest of the body. You are part of the body of Christ. Some of you have very highly visible gifts, easy to spot. Others, you're a little bit more like a liver. And I mean that as the highest of compliments, by the way. Some gifts are flashy. Some are not. All are essential. How has God gifted you? How has God gifted you? If you're wondering, talk to some of the people around you. Talk to the people that you do life with. So, Lord, help me to know what my part in the body is. Lord, help me to know. Lord, help me to play my part in the body. Lord, help me to know. So what is your next step as part of the body of Christ? Maybe that's to get connected. Maybe that's to try volunteering somewhere. Maybe that's to talk to somebody. But I do know this, it all starts with staying connected to the head. God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. Let me see your eyes. I promise I'm almost done. You are not here by accident. You are here by His purposes and plan. And even if you wonder why you are here, that doesn't mean even if you don't yet know why you're here, that doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose. It just means you don't know it yet. God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you, to rise again from the dead for you. So that the Holy Spirit could dwell inside you and empower you for the very service that you were created for. So Lord, help me to know my part. So Lord, help me to play my part, whatever that part might be. Would you pray with me?